lot of times when I meet people and they find out I'm a pastor, they get all nervous about, man, that Bible stuff and the religion and what is that all about? Hey, I'll give you the cliff notes. It's about three basic parts. It's about anticipating Jesus. We are anticipating Jesus in the Old Testament. So about half the book, a little over half, is about anticipating Jesus coming. And then we have this era called the Gospels, where it's all about Jesus. It's about this God-man, fully God, fully man, walked the earth. And he lived a perfect life, a life above reproach, a life caring for people, loving people. He's the type of guy you would want to have as a neighbor. He's the type of person you'd want to have as a best friend. Never let you down type of man. And so that's who Jesus is, and he's so much more than that. But then the last part of the book of the Bible, it's about after Jesus. What happens after Jesus left the earth? And so we read a lot of different books in the Bible that are about what do we do and how do we live after Jesus has been here. But it's all about Jesus. Time itself is about Jesus. The fact that it's 2016, and just a week we're going to mark another year, and all of that traces time back to the fact of before Christ and after his death. So all of us go back and mark our very existence based on Jesus' life. But see, vintage Christmas, when we think of something that's vintage, some of you may be familiar with vintage wines. Now, we're in a Baptist church, and so maybe some of you will pretend you don't know what that means, and that's all right. But others do, and you understand that a vintage wine, it's kind of the time, the season that it was made. It's the original. And if you find that a wine is from a particular vintage, a particular area, at a particular year, then you understand, man, that was special type. That was a special situation. That was a vintage. Some of you are into vehicles. How many guys you say, man, I work on cars? You raise your hand. I work on cars. Yeah? How many of you are like, I'm not raising my hand? Gotcha. So, here's the deal. So a vintage automobile, some of you look back and you say, man, if I could just have any automobile, it'd be a vintage car. And I know exactly what the make and model and the year would be. I want something vintage. I want something that is real. And so a lot of us, when we think about Christmas, unfortunately, we've kind of become consumerized. We've got Christmas to where it's down to dollars and cents. We got Christmas to where it's all about what we can push in front of somebody's face to make them love us, or to make that child smile, or to apologize to our wife or our husband at Christmas, or just to get somebody off our back. And then we're stressed, like, man, what if we don't do enough? What if we miss somebody? What if we forget a present? And so we say, man, Christmas has too much tension on it. And so tonight I want to take you back to the vintage Christmas. Take you back to the original story, and each one of us peer in and say, Lord, what do you have for me inside of Christmas? You see, what makes Christmas amazing is that it was predicted. The Bible calls it a prophecy. That before it even happened, the Bible talked about it happening. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says this, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Take a look at those words. For unto us a what is born? A child is born. And to us a son is given. I want you to notice two things there. Back in Isaiah, before Jesus ever appeared, it could have been simplified as, oh, well, a child was born, or a son was born and given. But no, it was a child that was born. But on that day, 2,000 years ago, God stepped into the scene. And so the Father's Son was not necessarily born. The Father's Son is co-equal with Dad. And so the Son was given. Now, the child was born, but the Son was a gift. Amen? The Son is a gift. And so long before Jesus ever rolled up on the scene, we see that a child was born that day. But listen, all of you were born, but I don't worship you. We worship the fact that a son was given that day. Not just that a baby was born, but that a son was given to humanity. And so Isaiah talked about this long before Jesus ever shows up. And it says, the government shall be on his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. That's who Jesus is to you. If you will let Jesus rule and reign in your heart, He will be your counselor. He will speak to you over those tough decisions in life you go through. Those moments when you're weary and tired and hurting, He will be your counselor. He's your mighty God. Those times when you don't think you'll make it, He's strong enough. Everlasting Father. I had a dad who walked out on me. Many of you never had a father at home. Some of you had a father who was present, but he was distant as though he didn't live there. But you know who Jesus is. You know who your God is. He's your everlasting Father. And He's the Prince of Peace. In a world where everything seems to be going wrong, who was born that day in Bethlehem was the Prince of Peace. I'd like you to meet Him. Vintage denotes something of high quality, especially something of the past, the characteristic of the best period of a person's work. Vintage Christmas is not about all the Christmases since. It's about the birth, the one Christmas that makes all the other Christmases make sense. Read with me, if you will, Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, it says this. In those days, a decree went out to Caesar Augustus that all the world would be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee to the town of Nazareth, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she came to give birth to her firstborn, and she wrapped him in swaddling cloth, and she laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. At the vintage Christmas, I want you to understand, Jesus came humbly so that you might humbly come. Jesus came humbly so that you might humbly come. You see, Christians, we don't worship a God who is sitting at a distance waiting to throw down lightning on the first person to do something wrong. No, we worship a God who came close. He's Emmanuel, God with us. And at vintage Christmas, the first Christmas, He didn't come riding a lightning bolt or a white stallion. God didn't come declaring who He was. Jesus came humbly so that you and I would humbly come. So that you and I would not be put off. We would not run away. We would not be fearful of Him. He came humbly, in a manger, in fact. You see, in this day, they would normally have a place in the home that was reserved for guests. Well, when everyone comes to get registered, there was just simply no more room in the guest house. And so He went out where the animals would be. And so they placed Him in this manger. He was humbly come into the world. Innocent. Anything could have happened. It all depended on the love and the trust of God, the peace of God, keeping Jesus safe. But He came humbly. You see, there's not a God who's sitting back waiting to zap you or hurt you. He comes humbly as a gift to say, listen, I love you. And just as we saw these people behind me earlier come and be baptized, they realized that God was their gift, that Jesus was a gift, that Christmas was about a gift. And so they come and they receive that gift at Christmas. Now you all know, but when tomorrow comes and a lot of your children will go and unwrap presents, it may have their name on it. But it's not really received until they open the gift. Some of you don't understand that God Himself from heaven sent you a gift called His Son, Jesus. But you have yet to open that gift for yourself. You've yet to receive that gift. But your God, He came humbly. He's doing everything possible to build a bridge from earth to heaven and heaven to earth through Jesus. So vintage Christmas is about a humble God who's coming so that you might humbly come. You're in this room tonight and you say, you know what? I'm surprised lightning hasn't struck yet because a friend invited me and I haven't been to church since who knows when and I'm not even sure what I believe about all this stuff. I want you to know, if you're that person, if you're the critical person, if you're the curious person, if you're the one who doesn't feel right in a church, if you feel like that something's odd or maybe you're not good enough, I want to tell you, church, there is no one in this room who is quote-unquote good enough. I want to tell you that everyone who sits around you and they claim the name of Jesus, what they believe about Jesus is that they are not good enough. But God came as a gift to give them brand new life. And He's not looking for the professors and He's not looking for the sharpest in the box. He's not looking for the people that got life all together. In fact, Jesus said He didn't come for those who didn't need a doctor. He came for the sick. So we at Captivate, we've always prided ourselves on being a spiritual hospital for those who would come and say, you know what? I am not perfect, but I understand that God is. And God has done everything to build a bridge to me. And He humbly came so that maybe I would come humbly to Him. Tonight, my prayer is that maybe you would humbly come. Tonight, my prayer is that maybe somebody in this room would say, you know what? I did not know that God did everything to build a bridge to me. I didn't realize what the gift of Christmas was. But tonight I do, and I realize I don't have to be perfect. I just have to come to Jesus. The story continues in Luke, and it says this, in the same region there were shepherds out in a field. They were keeping watch over a flock by night, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that'll be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel, with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those from whom He is pleased. When the angels went away from them to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. They wondered at what the shepherds told them. You see, at the vintage Christmas, at the original Christmas, worry is replaced by wonder. Worry is replaced by wonder. All who heard were filled with wonder. You know, one of the joys of this season is to be able to watch little children and their innocent eyes still filled with wonder. But some of us, we have had wonder beaten out of us. Some of us, we have quit wondering. Some of us have quit thinking maybe that God really is there. Some of us have quit chasing the fact that God still has dreams to be birthed in our heart. Some of us believe that our best days are in our past. Some of us believe that it's all over and we're just waiting until God calls us home. But we don't wonder anymore. But the vintage Christmas, at vintage Christmas, the call was to wonder. The call was to celebrate. Who is this God? What is this God about? What does God have for me? And maybe you're in this season of life and you've quit wondering. You've quit asking God, God, are you there? God, do you care? God, are you active? God, what about this? You've quit the wondering process. I pray that maybe after tonight, you would begin to wonder again. You'd begin to look at your life and say, God, I'm not dead, so you're not done. What will you do next, God? How can you reveal yourself to me? Lord, how can I be used? Lord, how can I use these talents and my time and the treasure? Lord, how can I use everything you've given to me? How can I leverage it for your glory on earth? Lord, I want to wonder again. I want to celebrate again. I want to have curiosity again. I don't want to believe that I know it all. I don't want to lean up against the wall with my arms folded and think that I've got it all together. God, I just want to be a child again. I just want to get back to the place when I first saw your face. Back to the place to where I first saw that you loved me. Back to the place to where I was a child and I just knew that I couldn't be an accident. I knew that my life was worth more than that. Tonight, I proclaim to you that at the vintage Christmas, Christmas was to bring wonder into the world. And so maybe you have lost your wonder. And I would ask you to go to the Lord and say, Lord, let me wonder again. Let me still have anticipation for what you could do with my life. You know what? When you're 25 and it's not working out, when you're 35 and it doesn't look like you thought, when you're 50 and you say, man, I don't have much time to figure it out. I want to tell you something. God still has a plan for you. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, God has a plan for you. Turn to your other neighbor and tell him, God has a plan for you too. Listen, we've given up on wonder. Well, we need to bring our wonder back. If you want a terrible memory from Christmas, I'm bringing wonder back. All right, that was bad. Really, really bad. Really, really bad. Verse 9, yeah, boomy. 19! Moving on! I'm telling you, stuff goes through my head. Verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and all that had been told them. You see, vintage Christmas, Jesus came humbly. Vintage Christmas, Jesus came to give you wonder again. Vintage Christmas, it ends with pondering the things of God and praising the God that caused all things. Christmas is about pondering and praising. Pondering and praising. Mary treasured up everything in her heart. They began to ponder what was this work of God in their lives. And they left praising God for who He is and what He's done. Tonight, I bet you haven't been through exactly what was gone through that day. You see, there so much had happened. It was a whirlwind. A teenage virgin mother, selected by God to bring hope into the world, has this long journey to Bethlehem. She gets there and her poor baby, firstborn, God's son, all these prophecies, and where does she have to put him but in a manger with the animals? Visits from guests from afar, and they're bringing these gifts that signify that this baby is a king. And in the midst of all the chaos of life, the scripture tells us that Mary treasured these things in her heart. They pondered the things of God. And when everyone left, when the party was over, they went back praising God for what they saw. I've got news for you. We named our church Captivate because it means to hold attention with irresistible appeal. And I've got news that for all your life, God has been whispering, God has been shouting, God has been trying to get your attention, to tell you how much He loves you. And so as you ponder your life, as you ponder where you've been and what you've done and all the mess you got yourself into and how you didn't have it all figured out, God has still blessed you. God still loves you. God still has a miracle in store for you. God still has a plan for your life. God loves everybody in this room. And He wants you to ponder that tonight. This Christmas season, don't let it pass without pondering the goodness of God. I don't even care if you came in and you said, I don't believe nothing what the preacher says. Let me tell you something to believe when you go home. You believe that God loves you. That's what I want you to believe. You don't have to believe anything else I say. But when you walk out of those doors, I want you to ponder in your heart how everything you've done, how far you've run, why in the world does He still have you here hearing from some crazy preacher that He loves you to death? You know why? Because He wants you to realize that He came humbly to you. He built the bridge to you. He wants you to fill you with awe and wonder with your life. He doesn't want you to live a dead life without Him. He wants you to be filled with mystery and awe, and He wants you to live this life looking around the corner for where God will move next. He doesn't want you to have a boring life. The scripture says that He wants to give you an abundant life, a life that is above anything you could ask, hope, think, dream, imagine. That's the life He wants to give you. But we're settled with so-so. We're settled with okay. We're settled with ho-hum. I almost said ho-ho-ho. But we're in church. I shouldn't do that. You see, we settle too much. And God says, I've come humbly so that you might humbly come. I want to fill your life with wonder. I want to have you pondering me. And then at the end of it all, I want you to see what I'll do with your life. And then I want you to praise me. I want you to be able to celebrate. Use that the breath in your lungs I gave you to celebrate back to me my goodness and my greatness and how awesome I am because I love my kids. So here's what it comes down to. All of us in this room, we have a choice to make. Is this Christmas going to be another season that just passes? Or will we realize that what Christmas is about is that God came humbly. Jesus came humbly so that you might humbly come to Him. This Christmas, will it be that you just kind of say good job and you leave and you sing a few songs? Or will you say, wow, God, I want to be filled with wonder. I want to know what my life would be if I surrendered it to your glory and your goodness. I want to give my life over, God, and let you take the lead. Maybe somebody's in this room and you say, I have never, ever, ever given my life over to Jesus. You see, before these people got up in the baptistry waters, there was a decision that they made in their life that you didn't get to see. You get to see the outcome, but you didn't get to see the input. The impetus for them getting in water was them surrendering their life over to Jesus. And tonight could be your night. Tonight could be the night that you came to a service because it was something to do around Christmas. But tonight could be your night where God shatters everything and He reaches into earth and He grabs your soul and He says, you will be mine. I love you forever. Maybe tonight's the night where you say, you know what? I want to be filled with wonder. I want to surrender my life to Christ. I've had it enough my way. I'm ready to give my life to Jesus tonight. You say, Pastor, I don't want to be tricked or fooled. What does it mean to give my life to Jesus? Here's what it means. It doesn't mean there's a 58-step program we take you through. What it means is you admit that you're a sinner. Everybody in this room, I've got some bad news. You're a sinner. Everybody point up to me. Point up to me. Point to me. Come on now. It's middle school. Doesn't work if we're both not dancing. Point up to me. Go ahead, wag your finger. Say, preacher, you're a sinner. There you go. Everybody's a sinner. So maybe you might admit that finally in life, right? Husbands and wives, you see, preacher said you're a sinner. But tonight you admit that you're a sinner. And you remember that Jesus came humbly. So maybe you believe something. You say, Jesus, I believe when you came into the earth, you came humbly for me. And you got up on Calvary's cross and you died for me so that I would not have to die an eternal death. And so you would believe something. You'd believe Jesus died for me. And then you confess it. Confess just simply means let it be known to people. I confess Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior. Meaning I cannot go to heaven on my own works. I'm not strong enough, smart enough. I'm not good looking enough, though I'm close. Joke. I'm not anything except for what Jesus would let me be. And so I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe Christ came and He died to take away my sin. And I believe that Jesus, I confess Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior. I'm not going to heaven, but except through you. So if you're in this room today, guess what? To be a Christian, that's it. And He came humbly so that you might humbly come tonight. So that tonight might be your night to come. I want to ask every single person in this room. There's a decision to be made. Some of you, your decision is, will I humbly come and trust Jesus to save me? For others, your decision is that, have I lost the wonder of God? I might claim to be a Christian. I might go to church, but I lost out on the wonder of God somewhere. And I am declaring that I want it back. I don't want to wait to 2017 and make a resolution. I want Jesus to be my solution. Tonight, Jesus, would you bring back the awe and the wonder of your salvation? For the rest of us, we might pray and praise over what God would do in other people's lives around us and get back to that lowly manger, get back to the vintage Christmas where it all began. The suspense of living for you. I let other things get in my way. Maybe the devil beat me up a little bit. But tonight, this Christmas, Jesus, I'm asking for you to restore my wonder. Restore my wonder. Give me joy again, Jesus. Help me to remember the joy of my salvation. I thank you, God, for loving me. I thank you for giving me an abundant life. And I pray that everything I do from this day forward will be filled with wonder. That I'll seek you. And seek what you want to do through me. I love you, Lord. I praise you in Jesus' name.